your little travels during the summer. I wonder who's been the furthest. Anybody been to Asia during the summer at all?
Southport.
That's a long way. 8 miles or so. Anybody been to Europe during the summer? Anybody been to France? No? It's too expensive to go to France now, isn't it? Oh, who's been to France? No, they went to Paignton this year. Yeah, similar, very similar, Paignton and the south of France. Anybody, who else has been anywhere? Has nobody been on holiday? Where have you been? Cornwall, yeah. How was Andy and Tracy? Are they all right down there? Let's see them. Anybody been further? Anybody been abroad? Centre Park. I think that's in England as well, isn't it? Mind you, there is one in Holland somewhere, I think where it first started. Well, obviously you've had a very exciting summer anyway. A couple of weeks ago, I just had a couple of days off and went with an old friend from college, somebody who I've known even longer than I've known my friend Linda. And we went up to Borrowdale and the Lake District and did some youth hosteling and some walking there. And he'd brought a friend, another friend with him, who was called Dave, and he was quite small, so his name was Little Dave, basically. So there was Andy, Little Dave, and myself, and we went walking. And as we were traveling, of course, you get chatting about things. I must tell you this story. You know, I like starting usually when I'm speaking with some kind of humorous story or a joke or whatever, because humor's good for the soul, isn't it? And laughing's good for the soul. We need to laugh every day. I need to laugh a lot more. And Dave, this little Dave, was telling me a little story about one of his relatives. Now, to preserve their identity, we'll call her Mary, just in case she ever hears our website or whatever. Anyway, Mary is one of little Dave's relatives and known for being a little bit on the dizzy side, so to speak. And Mary went to Sainsbury's that particular week, as she always does on a Wednesday, and went shopping, went round for half an hour, got all her shopping, and thought, well, I'll just nip to the toilet before I go to the till. Went to the toilet, came back, got her trolley, went through the checkout, and was halfway through putting the trolley stuff all in the car when this woman came screaming out of Sainsbury's saying, "You've got my trolley!" And dear old Mary, in her dizzy way, had picked up somebody else's trolley after the toilet, paid for all this other person's stuff, and got half of it in the car before this woman had arrived and shouted at her and was not very happy, as you can imagine, having spent all her time shopping, and somebody else runs off with it. Anyway, a week later, same day, Wednesday, Mary goes shopping to Sainsbury's again and makes special care this time to make sure she gets her own trolley, goes out and decides to get some petrol from the forecourt, from the station, petrol station, on the way out. She parks her car, she goes in to pay for her petrol, and unknown to Mary, while she's in the petrol station paying, another car, same make, same colour, comes into the petrol station, and this person leaves the keys in the car while they're coming and getting their payment. Mary comes merrily out of the shop, jumps into the wrong car, and is halfway out driving out of the forecourt when she can see this screaming and hear this shouting in the window, "Stop! Stop! You've got my car!" Mary gets out of the car, and you're not going to believe this, it was the same woman from the week before. The same woman. Is that a good story or what? Hey? Some of the funniest things in life are true, aren't they? What a story that is. What a story. Good, I'm glad you like that one. During the summer, we've been having a little theme of heroes. Last week, Linda spoke about that little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I love that. It fits in really well with that song that Johnny just led us in, didn't it? You know, take all that I've got in my hands, even if it's just a few loaves and a few fishes. Sometimes we just feel so inadequate in our lives, don't we? But all God asks us to do is just to bring what we have. He doesn't ask us to be anybody else first and try and, you know, get up this social ladder before we can be used. Just come as we are. Bring what we have in our hands, and God will take those things and use us. And today, I just want to think a little bit about our hero for today, which is King Solomon. Now, do you know how long ago Solomon lived? You younger ones, you know how old? We have to go back to how many years in time? 3,000 years ago, this guy called Solomon lived. And of course, Solomon has become a legend, not just in spiritual communities, but throughout the whole of history as being somebody who was known for his wisdom, for his ability to decide, make decisions about very tricky, difficult situations. He became very wealthy. He became great at doing business deals, and he became very, very famous and had, of course, famous visits from lots of people. The Queen of Sheba, of course, came to see him because of his enormous wealth and his amazing ability. Just a little word here, though. You know, when we're talking about heroes, sometimes when we, particularly Bible heroes, we think, oh, I'd love to be like that person and stuff. Just bear in mind that Solomon, although he was a great guy, he didn't end well. He didn't end well. And just because we do well for a lot of our lives, and you know, we have a faith and we're part of a spiritual community and all things seem to be going well, there's no guarantees in this life. And although Solomon was an amazing guy, an amazing leader, because he took his eyes off God, because he started following idols and following other passions and things like that, he lost it in the end. And we want to end well, don't we? We want to end well. And despite that, though, we can learn a lot from Solomon's life. And Solomon, because of his wisdom, he gathered together a lot of those sayings. When you read your Bible and you pick up your Bible, you'll find a book in there, more or less the middle of the Bible, called Proverbs. And basically, Proverbs is a collection of a lot of the things that Solomon had said, and I'm sure many of the scribes who wrote these things out probably got together some other people's wise words as well. And we've got them all collected here. And what I want us to do today is just have a little look at some of those things. Don't worry about trying to remember everything. I've written a sheet for you. Very good. Yeah, that wasn't very impressive. I've written a sheet for you. Which you can take by the door. They're only £5 each, these sheets. Got to get some money for our holiday from somewhere. I know what some of you are saying. Not another holiday, Mark. Yeah, no, forget. Let that go. Let that go now. So don't try and remember everything. You can take one of those home with you as families, and you can have a little look yourself about those things. You know, when you think about the story of Solomon, of course, I don't know whether you know this, but the reason why Solomon had that great wisdom is because God had said to Solomon when he was younger, listen, Solomon, I'm pleased with you. I'm going to grant you anything you wish. Just tell me what you want, and I will give it to you. What an amazing situation that is. When you were younger, did you used to do that? In fact, some of you might still do it now. Do you ever lie in bed and think, oh, if I had three wishes, what would I want? Hey, do you ever do that? Josh, do you never do that? What a boring life you must live. You never lie in bed going, oh, if I had £1 million, I'd... Something like that. No? No, fair enough, that's fine. But I'm sure... Look, help me here. Anybody ever thought about that? You know, if I had three wishes, what would... Yeah, of course you have. Most of us have. By the way, it reminds me, remember that other story of the apocryphal one, really, of Aladdin and the genie and the lamp and stuff like that. Do you remember that one? It was quite interesting. I was thinking the other day about that story. You know, the genie comes to a little boy and says to the little boy, you've got three wishes. What would you like? And the little boy thinks for a moment, well, a couple of days ago, my pet hamster died. I've still got it in the box here. Can you do anything about that? And the genie... He says, listen, son. He says, I'd love to help. He says, that's above my power grade, really, that one. He said, what's your second choice? He said, well, I'd like a new Xbox and some of the latest games. No problem. Sorted. Izzy Wizzy, let's get busy. Boom. New Xbox, loads of new games. Fantastic. He said, what's your third wish? He said, well, he said, I'm an Everton supporter. And I wish that Everton had won the FA Cup and the Premier League this year. And the genie said, let's have another look at that hamster. And, where's Stuart? Stuart's not going to be speaking to me now for all these boys here. Anyway. I wrote down some things here because the book of Proverbs is very, very important. It's not one that we often dip into normally. We tend to go to Mark, Matthew, Luke, the Gospels, some of the books in the New Testament. Proverbs isn't probably one of those that you readily go to. I've just finished working through it this last month in my Bible readings, and it's a great book for doing Bible readings because it's 31 chapters, which is, you know, more or less basically a chapter a day per month and things like that. And this is what I discovered. Well, actually, yeah. The book of Proverbs is about the art of successful living. These insights and wise sayings touch on universal issues that we all face. So it's for all of us here. There's something in the book of Proverbs for everyone. For example, how to handle relationships in your family life, husbands, wives, parents, children. How to use your money wisely. How to make wise investments. How to look after the poor. How to control your mouth and what you say, how to resolve disputes or arguments that you have with people, how to make good decisions, choosing what's right and good and fair. Strategy for good leadership is in there as well. And what to do when life gets hard and threatens to overwhelm us. And we all know that, don't we? When life gets hard and threatens to overwhelm us. It's all there in the book of Proverbs. And as we start to read chapter 1, I just want to pick out one or two verses to start with. Have you got them up there? This is what it says in Proverbs, the very first verse of Proverbs. Here are kingdom revelations. And last couple of years we've been focusing on that, isn't it? That what it means to put the kingdom first, to seek first the kingdom of God, and how that looks in our lives. Words to live by, words of wisdom given to empower you to reign in life. There I've put in brackets as well, to rule or to take control of your life. A little bit further down, there's some more verses. Chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, you can receive an understanding heart that will change your inner being. These words will release within you revelation for you to reign in life and empower you. Another one. The ways of wisdom are sweet, always drawing you into the place of wholeness. Remember, we've used this word over the last couple of years as well. Sometimes a word that's used with peace. The idea of what's called shalom. You know that ancient Hebrew word? It doesn't just mean an absence of trouble. It means a presence of well-being. Yeah, there's a difference between those things, an absence of trouble, but a presence of wholeness, of well-being. It's interesting, Solomon's name itself comes from that root word, shalom, which means wellness, it means wholeness, it means being good. And finally, as you unwrap my words, I like that idea, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So these words that we're looking at, they have amazing power. They have amazing ability to transform us, an amazing ability to give us strength to rule in life. I like that idea. How many of us seem to live our lives as if life is overpowering us? Do you feel that sometimes? You feel as though life is just sweeping over you. You have no control over what is going on. You just feel powerless. These words of Solomon, these words in Proverbs here, as we unwrap them, as we meditate upon them, as we take them into our innermost being, they will help give us strength to rule in life. Not to dominate over other people, I didn't say that, but to rule and to reign in your own life and your own circumstances. How many of us want that? You want to feel as though you're in control of what is going on in your life and not just being overwhelmed by other people, other circumstances, finances, the weather. All of these things crowd in on us sometimes, don't we? And these words will help us to reign in our lives, to rule in our lives, to have the ability to live life in a sense of wholeness. Now, there's lots of different ways of looking at the book of Proverbs. One of the ways to tackle it is to do like I've done in my Bible readings this last month, is just to read a chapter at a time. And by the way, you know, one of the things that I've started to do, and some of you might think this is sacrilege, but I've particularly started to get a pen now, and when I come across a phrase or a word or an idea that jumps out, and I underline it, sometimes in different colors. Now, some of you think, oh, you shouldn't really put a pen on a book and stuff like that. But I can buy another copy in a few years' time. But you know, like when you sort of, about 3 or 4 days later, you think, oh, I read that the other day, and you can't find it, can you? Start underlining stuff. Put in little marks at the side. Get a highlighter pen or something. It will, or even better, one stage better than I'm going at the moment, get a little journal. And maybe at the end of your little Bible reading, just jot those few verses down that spoke to you that day, so you can think about them. Another way of looking at the book of Proverbs is to take a theme. And that's what I want to do just for these last 10 minutes that I've got here now. And the theme that I'm going to take is one of those things that we talked about earlier on, is how we use this. How we speak. How we use our tongue. How we use the words that we say every day. So much a part of our lives, what comes out of our mouths. And the book of Proverbs has so much to help us with. Like I say, you've got these all written down, but let me just read them to you. They're not up on the screen here, so just listen carefully. Here's a couple there, or two or three that go together here. Listen to this one. A life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. When you say something to somebody else to encourage them, it can bring joy to their heart. Something else that's similar. Nothing is more appealing than speaking beautiful, life-giving words. They release sweetness to our souls and inner healing to our beings. And the same kind of idea. Sharing words of wisdom is satisfying. It encourages you to know that you have changed someone else's life. That's great, isn't it? What you say, what I say in our daily walk of life, whether it's at home, in our family, whether it's with our children, whether it's at the shops, when we meet some friends or relatives or neighbors, wherever we are, what comes out of our mouths can bring words of encouragement that can transform people's lives. Do you know that? How many of you experience that? I'm sure many of us have. People come back, sometimes even a few years later, and say, you know what, you won't remember this, but when you spoke to me a few years ago and you said just a few kind words or something, it transformed my life there. It helped me in a dark and difficult season there. The power of our words that can help other people. What about this one? Guard your words and you'll guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it will ruin everything. How many of us can put our hands up and say, oh, I wish I'd never said that? Do you remember? Oh, you know, sometimes we use other things like put your foot in it or something like that. But you just wish, after you've said it, you think, oh, I wish I could take that back. Maybe it was an unkind word. Maybe it was a truthful word, but said in an unkind way and at the wrong time. Yeah? If you don't control your tongue, it will ruin everything. Some of us sadly know that it can ruin relationships, it can ruin things, can't it? Yeah? Sometimes those things, particularly, you know, Steve and I quite often go to funerals, and I mean, Steve does a lot of funerals nowadays and things, but you often, when you're talking to family members, and you'll say, oh, is there a problem here or something? You know, and these two brothers or two people, family members, have not spoken for maybe 5, 10, 15 years. Why are you not speaking? And it'll come back to something that somebody said that they've never forgiven or never got over. What about these ones here? Respond gently when you're confronted, and you'll diffuse the rage of another. So when somebody comes and they've got their finger wagging in your face, oi, oi, you! Well, yeah. It's very easy just to sort of, you know, give them a kick, innit? And, you know, sort of say, you know, on your bike, son, and give them a bit of a mouthful back. Look, don't do that. Respond gently and you when you're confronted, and you'll diffuse the situation. By the way, these are not guarantees. I don't want you coming to me saying, I tried that this week, Mark, and look at this black eye I've got here. These are not 100% watertight. These are general rules that you'll find will help, but they're not guarantees. Here's another good one. Same kind of idea. Shut your mouth when you're provoked. It will make you look smart. Shut your mouth when you're provoked, and it'll make you look smart. What about these two? These are joined together as well. Listen before you speak. For to speak before you've heard the facts will bring you humiliation. Yeah? Listen before you speak. Listen to the facts first. There's another one that's very similar. There are two sides to every story. The first one to speak sounds true until you hear the other side. Does anybody else find that? I find that when I'm reading books. You know, you get a book and you read it and you think, wow, this is fantastic. This is absolutely true. This is exactly right. And then you read another book that's got a different point of view and you think, oh, maybe they've got a point as well. You know what I mean? You need to listen to both sides of the view. I love it at the moment with Emily and John and the family living with us. John, as you know, is a very clever fellow. Have you worked that out yet? Yeah? He's much cleverer than me, particularly when it comes to theological things. So I'm working through quite a few things at the moment, reading some books and studying things and stuff. And I'll pick up a book and read it and think, oh, I've got it. I've got it now. I've got it all worked out. It's only taken me 60 years, but I've got it now. And then I'll say to John, John, I've got it. I've got it. And he'll go, yeah, but have you thought about... I'll go, oh, no, I've not thought about that. And you know what I mean? Listen to both sides of the story. Here's a good one. Watch your words and be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised how few troubles you have. That's a great one, isn't it? Yeah? Watch your words, be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised how few troubles you have. Final one, final two. Don't reveal, and this is, I'm speaking to myself here, don't reveal another person's secret just to prove a point in an argument. Or you could be accused of being a gossip and gain a reputation for being one who betrays the confidence of a friend. Now, I am not a natural gossip, and I don't deliberately share people's secrets. I just want you to know that. But don't tell me everything, because sometimes I forget that it was a secret 2 months, 3 months later, and you know, Linda's standing there looking at me going, what are you doing? You know, but you know, it's not talking about that, is it? What it's talking about is you've got some secret information. You know something about somebody else's life, and you drop it into a conversation to make you look good. Have you ever done that? I've done that. We've all done that in some way. Be careful, because it's verging on gossip, and gossip is not good. Doesn't bring good things into relationships and situations. Don't reveal another person's secret just to prove a point in an argument. Just one verse from the New Testament, which I think nicely brings all of these things together. Dan, have you got that one up there? This is from the book of Colossians. Now, Paul never visited the people in Colossians. He wrote them a letter, but he actually never went there. But these are the things that he said to them there. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus. Little typo there, Dan. Never mind. Are you there? Never mind, Dan. We won't shout at you. Make sure you encourage Dan on the way out. Don't be saying to him, "Oh, Dan, I didn't know you couldn't spell," things like that. Just say, "Dan, thanks very much for all you do on that balcony." Words of encouragement build people up, don't they? Is that right? Will you say that with me? Yeah? Just say that. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus. That's a lovely verse, isn't it? That one. Do you like that one? What? Well done, Dan. Good stuff. So it's very practical today, yes? It's all about how we use this. And all that information is there for you. Don't just go home and put it on the side and leave it. Why don't you just think about a few of those things every day this week? Just take one of those and chew it over in your mind. Just meditate on it. Chew it over. That's all meditation means. Meditation is not like Eastern philosophy where you just sort of go, and you think of nothing. Christian meditation is a good thing. It's where you think about something that's true and you chew it over in your mind as you go through the day. Take one of those each day this week and chew it over and say, "Lord, help me with my mouth." I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. I don't know whether you've said to Jesus, "Look, I want you to be in control." But listen, even if you've not done that, why don't you join with us this morning and say, "Lord," just say yes and say, "Please help me with my mouth this week." just to say some good things that will bless people, will encourage people, will set people free, will change and transform and bring goodness. Can we all agree on that this morning at least? Yeah, that we'll pray that. Let's pray together and then we'll hand back to Steve. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for these words of wisdom, and help us as we unwrap these in our lives during this week. And we particularly say, Lord Jesus, please help us with our mouths. We know that they can be forces for good, but they can be forces for so much trouble in our lives as well. And we want to be people who speak good things over others. We want to be people who are known for speaking kind things, generous things, things that will build up, not pull down. So we pray you'd help us this week, Lord, to know your power in our lives, the Spirit's power, helping us to live that way each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.